Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
My day was a bit of a wreck till I got here. And then I got free Red Robin. The good team here at Red Robin brought the entire cluster delicious burgers today. Of course, they have all the fixins that they brought in. And that was great. And then they were also listeners of the show, so they're also very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a free burger.
Yeah.
I got bacon cheeseburger free.
That was nice.
And I got a lot of compliments. That's... You know how I love compliments and bacon cheeseburgers.
I enjoyed that as well. Did you also do the same thing I did? I've just not gotten great at this. One of the women that was there with Red Robin asked for a photo.
Uh-huh.
And then instead of just being like, oh, yeah, we'll find somebody to take the photo, I was instantly like, Jake, you're going to take the photo now.
Oh, you just bossed Jake into it?
Yeah, I did. I bossed Jake into it. In many ways, it was getting back for the purple M&M comment.
Yeah, but that didn't hit you. Yeah.
That's neither here nor... Well, we're a team.
Yeah.
And so that's how I look at things.
It makes the dream work.
That's how I look at things. And Jake, by the way, no reach on that phone at all. He was not really ready to get after that one, was he?
Between me and Matt quarreling,
worry,
and now you
photo.
And Jake quarreling.
We got the photo. No. Jake and I don't quarrel.
All there.
We got the photo taken care of. And so that's all that matters. They're fantastic people over there. It's very nice. Great food. As I told myself I was going to have a nice day eating, and I already broke into the Halloween candy earlier this morning, and now I'm eating Red Robin and a lot of burgers.
Think about this. Weekly burger bet brought to you by Red Robin. Every week, I just offer up a burger bet. It can be on the show.
Yeah.
Heck, we could get listeners in on
it. It's a great idea.
Think about it.
That's a great idea.
And then... I eat the burger.
If only
because I'm going to win.
Why aren't you on our sales team?
I mean, they actually kind of told me the idea, and then I'm just kind of aping it like it's my own idea. I don't care. I came up with the idea.
Who came up with the idea?
It's Jim.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I don't know if it's Jim or James because I've called him like both things now.
The magician.
But, the magician.
That's
the
what
magic
I call him.
Man.
He's so good. Here's the thing about being a magician and then telling people that you do magic tricks. You have to be really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just be okay. And so I was at
okay magician is better than a normal person, right?
No, it's the type of hobby. No, the hard part about it's the type of hobby you have to be awesome at. You can't just be like you judge by the tricks. If the tricks are just kind of like, oh, okay, that's wow, great.
You can judge by the tricks.
You made the ball disappear from under the cup. Like that's a very rudimentary trick, not very impressive.
Yeah, same
the
thing.
Tricks James have shown me. High level, high class, I'm very impressed. But it is the type of hobby. That's what stinks about that hobby, is that it's like hard. You can't, well, if you're trying to learn how to be a magician, you basically can't tell anybody until you're a finished product. Because nobody wants you to just
so
be
it's like
average
you can't
at it.
Be like, it's like, I'm going to play you the worst rendition of Hotel California you'll ever hear, but you can kind of hear it.
Nobody's happy with that.
Yeah? So it's every hobby, right?
No, there are definitely hobbies. I have golf friends of mine that stink at golf, but they love playing golf.
There's golf professionals that stink at golf. I think that's a golf problem, not a hobby problem.
Well, there are certain hobbies I feel like you can just kind of, you can work your way towards being good and nobody really cares. But being a magician, if you're just a so-so magician, I feel like that's a hard hill to climb. Whereas if you're someone like James, you're actually talented, it becomes fun really quick.
All right, magicians out there. I would love to line up six of you in a lineup and each of you do a trick and then have JP tell you whether you're a good, middling, excellent magician.
Well, I have made my livelihood off the idea that I can tell people whether or not they're good or bad at something that I myself can't do.
Well, yeah.
So I think I actually am the perfect person for this type of judgment.
But you get to do this into a microphone.
What we do.
If Joe Batonio was sitting across there, or if Timu Tu was sitting across here, we'd be like, Tua, you look great, man. I thought you're 6'2". When I saw you, it'd be a little different once the magicians are in the room with you.
Not a chance. You know me well enough to know that I don't work that way.
With magicians, they can make you disappear. Have you seen Now You See Me?
Just make me disappear. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. I would be 100% the perfect person to judge a magic competition.
Now, as always, guys, you can watch us on YouTube. You guys can get at us on social media, of course. At Nick Wilson says at Jay Peterlin. Social media reactions on X. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers. I made an X there for everybody.
The big brain on James there.
Well, I'm just trying to let everyone... It's pretty good.
That was a good idea.
First in the chat today, by the way, is our buddy Jabril Hogans.
I thought it was going to be Jabril Peppers.
It'd be really funny if it was Jabroni Hogan, and then he was just like Hulk Hogan rock / cosplayer. I don't know what that would look like, but I'd watch it.
Or his chat lines up 22 yards away from everyone else.
Now, that being said... Miles Garrett is. I'm not acknowledging it. I'm not even gonna do it. I don't even have to.
You don't have to.
Yeah, and it was in Ashtabula, I believe, where Jabril Peppers lined up. But Miles Garrett's at the center of another controversy. He's being yelled at by some Browns fans for not having a sack, and I think it was two tackles on Sunday's game against Pittsburgh. They've now swung back the other way, saying, "Nope, T.J. Watt's once again the better player." And then you had PFF grade Miles Garrett. An outstanding grade for his performance against Sunday, which has football guys versus analytics dudes fighting. Trevor Sikkema fighting for his life on social media. Is Pat McAfee and the like go after him for PFF grades? All because Miles Garrett, did he have a good game or not on Sunday?
Well, so this is the crux of this conversation is a Miles Garrett versus TJ Watt discussion. That's really at the heart of that is what that is. Many people subscribe to the idea that when Miles won his DPOY, part of why he won it in a year where T.J. Watt had, six or seven more sacks than he did on the season is because PFF quantified how many double teams he had, the pass rush win rate, all these advanced numbers that the eye test just doesn't tell you off first glance. And so there's a lot of reasoning why if you're someone like J.J. Watt, let's say, even though, yes, PFF liked him a ton, it's a lot of reason to believe if you're trying to stick up for T.J., this is the time that you would do it.
I just think what's funny about it is... I don't think you should just look at a box score. I don't think you can look at a box score and tell me how a guy played. We've had a time.
It just doesn't tell the whole story.
I mean, in fairness, we've had a game where Miles has 3+ sacks and on like 6 plays and then is non-existent the rest of the game.
Well, so it doesn't tell the whole story. Part of what I like about PFF, though, is that it's very hard with 22 players on every single snap for everyone to have watched everything. And I think a lot of times people, they'll look and say, oh, this guy was on my TV screen a lot or he was near the ball a lot, and they take that as being something worthwhile. Now, where I think PFF misses, and this is where our Mason Graham conversation kind of intersects. You know, Malik Collins has all sorts of area and action around the football, and Mason Graham gets everyone away from the football, but Mason Graham's his grade is then less. Well, it's like, well, all right, it's less because they're not going towards Mason Graham. How are you punishing Mason Graham when they're not going towards Mason Graham? And that's some of the things that PFF misses.
Here's the thing. It seems like people want to have one of two fixed positions. Miles had a bad game on Sunday, or the Steelers just game planned around him. Both things can be true. Miles was very silent on Sunday, and that was by design. The two things the Steelers needed to go their way in the game, they were able to navigate. They were able, I mean, I don't even remember the exact number, but how quickly Aaron Rodgers got the ball out, completely mitigated your pass rush and accentuated all your other flaws on defense. And then they needed you to stop trying to run the ball at them and have Dylan throw for 40+ times, which, strike that, he threw for 50+ times. Mm-hmm. The thing that I don't like about this is it becomes this gigantic war between traditional stats and analytics, and it's like it doesn't have to be. I don't think Miles had a good game on Sunday, and I think there were very valid reasons for that to happen. It is easier to take one guy out of the game in Miles Garrett than it is with a Pittsburgh defense that it's not just T.J. Watt. they've got six or seven really, maybe not Myles Garrett-level players, but six or seven Pro Bowl-level players on defense. That's harder to stop.
Yeah, I mean, the top six players on their team are all the defensive side of the ball. Like, Tomlin's put an emphasis on that side of the ball, but you're right in the idea that basically Tomlin got Stefanski to play into his hands.
Yes.
That's all the game was. If you want to tell me, forget box score, forget score, forget anything else, it was just, did Tomlin get Stefanski to play into his hands, and that's what Sunday ended up being.
Find you, Cooper, saying, Watt is a Hayward merchant. I don't disagree with that either. But again, if Miles had the equivalent, and I think he will. I think Isaiah McGuire's a really nice young piece. I think Mason Graham eventually will be this as well. If Miles had that other level of player, like I think Hayward might be a better player than T.J. Watt. There have been times where I thought Highsmith was actually a better player than T.J. Watt. That allows guys to get a lot more of incendiary stats.
Well, Herbig was the one that was the problem on Sunday.
But it doesn't...
He's the one that had two sacks and six total between sacks, hits, and hurries.
And he also might be their most underrated player, which is wild that we're saying this. But at the same point, I can't tell you, you're wrong, if you look at the $40 million man in Myles Garrett and you're pretty irritated that he was a non-factor in a game where you got blown out. I don't know whether you blame the coaching staff more that or Miles, but I think it's fair to be frustrated that the one thing you can count on, you couldn't count on Sunday. 216-474-0092. We got quick hits coming up at 240. We've got Miles Simmons, Cleveland's own. Also, Pro Football Talk NFL writer at 340. Pete Futek coming up at 420. Oh, yeah, we got our guy, Cash Lovett. It's 630. He's going to give us his picks for the week. And, of course, just before that, we'll do the quarterback Deadpool. Is it time for several of us to make a decision on our roster, and at least one of us is going to try and take a victory lap? It's Mac. Mac is going to try and take a victory lap.
Oh, that college football genius, Mac Robinson.
Yeah, didn't know who the third quarterback was for Mac. But 216-474-0092. How do we evaluate Miles at this point, and do you let him off the hook for a statistically quiet game that PFF loved and disappointment in Mason Graham in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan?
In the TJ Miles conversation, people want to take that and turn it into something different. This is, I've had my issues with PFF for a very long time. I was their number one rated player. I had over 100 score while I was playing. They had to change the system. They literally came to me and told me we had to change our system because of how you did it. So this isn't a guy who had bad grades who's disgruntled. I literally was their number one guy, and I still hate it. PFF has a lot of very beneficial tools. The number one issue with PFF, by far, bar none, hands down, is their player grading system and the fact that they project it everywhere, including nationally televised games on Sunday night where everybody's watching, and they make it underneath the rankings where it states as fact 91st out of 97th defensive tackles. That is a completely made up number.
JJ Wah Wah Watt on the McAfee Show. This is one of the things that kicked up the dust between football guys and wannabe football guys and PFF. I'd like to point out, by the way, I don't buy that J.J. Watt hated this when he was playing. I guarantee you he didn't walk around and be like, can you believe these schmoes? They gave me 100 grade. They're going to have to change their grading scale because of me. What a joke of an organization. I bet you he only really started not liking it when baby Wah Wah Watt started not liking his PFF grade.
I mean, that's got to be the crux of this. That's why you have to see through everything that JJ's doing right now. This is all in, and I actually respect it. It's all in defense of his brother.
No.
Actually, I love the idea that his brother has not accomplished anywhere close to the three defensive player of the year awards that JJ has, and JJ is still like trying to prop him up in every sort of there's a part of me that just having brothers, loving my brothers, I like this brother move by JJ Watt.
If it bugged any of my brothers to this and by the way, all of my brothers are much more successful on the football field than I was, but if it bugged any of them, I think at some point I'd be able to provide them perspective instead of finding ways to make sure they cried and coped a little harder with not being as good as Myles Garrett. I thought Trevor Sikkema actually put it perfectly. Like, it's a number. You do not have to take it as gospel. And just because it's out there, like if they put three sacks and eight TFLs in the season, you're not putting that number in context either. Like, the same flaw with the box score in traditional stats is the same flaw with analytics, but everybody just takes the PFF grade to be the letter of the law, which no one's saying it is. It's just one way to look at players.
It's just another way.
Yes. The beauty of analytics is that, yes, we get to choose which pieces of which stats most closely align with how we think of football. But that doesn't mean you have to embrace all of them or that one is superior to the other.
Yes, but I think the leagues wrapping their arms around PFF's numbers have validated it in an interesting way. Yes, he brings up Chris Collinsworth and Sunday Night Football. Yeah, Collinsworth has an investment in PFF, and so he's going to put the numbers out there, and JJ's right to point that out. But up until it was as recently as last year, wasn't it 31 out of 32 teams had subscribed to advanced PFF data and been paying PFF for some of its data that is not even given out to the general public that wants to pay for it? Like, they clearly do value some of what PFF is putting out there.
I mean, they didn't officially start recording sack numbers until 1982.
That's correct, yeah.
So even that, there was a time where people are like, sacks are a made-up thing.
There was a time people just looked and said, what does your eyeball tell you? In many ways, what does your eyeball tell you? Is this person good? Is this person bad? And then just kind of went with it. Like, I don't hate people that just want to know more and they want more information. It's just whether or not the information itself is actually valuable is, I think, the interesting part of it.
Now, here comes the Miles part of this. When Miles, two things happened that changed the way that I think some people, not all people, but some people perceive and maybe grade, evaluate, whatever you want to call it, with Miles. The first one was his trade request, which, while I think I, as a Miles fan, said, I want him to win. And if that means he's not going to do it here in Cleveland, I respect his willingness to go on the record and say that he wants out to win. I don't think everybody took it that way. There were people that were upset about that. And then the second thing was him 6 weeks later accepting a boatload of money to go ahead and stay in Cleveland on losing teams. And I don't want to say he lied, but certainly bent a narrative to, I know what these guys are going to be doing at quarterback, and that's why I'm here.
He lied.
And yeah, I was trying to be nicer about it.
He lied.
But I think anymore, like, it used to be, okay, Miles, what are your stats? And if you've got stats, we got no gripe with you. Now, because Miles is the only thing that is clearly and evidently great on this organization, he is in some ways, not in all ways, but in some ways, the new Joe Thomas. It's not just enough. Like, you got to be great. And because the offense is unwatchable, the defense has to be watchable. And you got to win. And by winning, in this case, your defense has to be elite. Like, it's no longer enough. I think that's what this week proves. Like, stats are like the keep most people calm when it comes to Miles.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think we've got this added weight of, if anything's going to be watchable, it's going to be Miles. If anyone's going to give you a chance to win, it's Miles. And if you feel like he falls short or the defense falls short, he's the guy that's going to take the brunt of it. That's what happens when you pull the shenanigans Miles pulled in the offseason.
And in the past few weeks, Miles has not played his best football, and the defense itself didn't look like the defense it did early on in the season, and people are talking about it. And that's I'm impressed people are going to care enough to be like, Miles only got 15 sacks instead of 17 sacks or 18 sacks, or Miles was disruptive in this game instead of this game. I assumed everyone was wrapped up in the quarterback convo and everyone was wrapped up in trying to get the offense going. I thought Miles was going to get almost a little bit of just a pass of just people.
What kind of pass?
Not a Peterman pass.
Okay.
I don't think in this instance. But I wondered if he was going to get the old Peterlin pass from people.
The Peterlin pass.
He just wanted to hear the sounder, folks.
I had to wrap it around for you guys. I had to bring it around.
Mac was looking
give Mac
like,
enough time
am
to get
I gonna
that
do
pass.
It? Should I do it? Should I push
do
the
it?
Button?
You always do it. Come on. But I thought the offense was going to be enough of a distraction almost to people that they wouldn't even zero in on this. It's why the past couple of days has been very interesting to see people zero in on it. Now, they're zeroing in on Miles because it's Steelers fans upset over TJ Watt. Would we have this same attention if he goes absent in a Dolphins game where the only people paying attention nationally are Spiro Dedes and Aditi Kingabwala?
But not Adam Archuleta, who will be in the booth, but also probably paying attention to anything else.
I omitted him for a reason, guys.
He's a New Mexico guy. It's going to be a lot of cold weather. It's going to be he's like the broadcasting version of Tua. You get it below 50 degrees, and he can't analyze.
Oh, we found out yesterday what that crew's group chat is named. Like a texting group chat.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Yeah. They call themselves the AFC South. AFC South crew.
Are you serious?
Swear to God.
They self-administer that?
Like, yeah, like Spiro yesterday in an interview that I heard said that, like, they, like, the top of their headline, like, in the group chat, it's called AFC South crew because they're always assigned AFC South games because they're not.
Do they know the inference to that?
I think they're trying to play along with it in, like, a fun way. I think they know the. Listen, you know how talented you have to be at this point in the season to even get NFL games? Like, you're a talented group. But to call yourself the AFC South is like
great.
That's like
great
swerving
job.
It into a
yeah. They're talented.
Well,
yeah,
you have
sure.
to be. You have
yeah.
to be. If
you
you're
have
gonna,
to be.
If
yeah.
you're gonna,
that would erase your phrase.
Yeah.
You guys know how I feel about Adam Archuleta. I just, yeah. You guys know how I feel about him. Okay.
It's yeah. not Spiro's
my.
Great
he's not
though.
My cup of tea.
Yeah. Some are calling him the young Cosell.
And we love Aditi. Yeah. Aditi's great. Aditi does not
boss.
Belong in an AFC South crew. Yeah.
No, she does not belong.
She belongs on an. She belongs on an AFC North. She belongs on the. She belongs on the Nance Romo crew that is essentially just we cover Patrick Mahomes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine being a Chiefs fan and it's like we basically have a home broadcast crew? It's basically Nance and Romo. For like 7 years, they've gotten every single Chiefs game. They're on the Chiefs again this week. Every game is just it's just Nance and Romo on the call.
In fairness, could we not get better announcer, a better analyst? Jim Nance is dope. Can we not get one better than Tony Romo?
I love Jim Nance. Here we go, Jim. Here we go.
Yeah. Oh, here's what's about to happen, and then it doesn't happen. I digress.
Don't wait until I do my Aikman.
They should also be called the AFC South.
That's not good, Joe. That's not good.
Now.
Really, that's what he always does.
I think we.
That's not good, Joe. That's not good.
I think we've settled on you're gifted in other ways. All right? Impressions are just not your
it's
thing.
Not about the impression. It's about saying what he would say in the moment. And that's his default.
But
you just said
it's my Aikman.
His default.
So
well,
if you say it's my Aikman, that means it's an impression.
You're supposed to love the idea that I'm hip to every third line he says being like, that's not good, Joe. That's not good.
When I think of you, I do think of hip. There's no doubt about that. Now,
glad somebody does.
I thought the vitriol was interesting. I thought, because I think you're onto something about, I feel like we were so confident about Myles Garrett over TJ Watt, and we had closed that door, and Sunday reopened that door for people. It just hasn't for me. I think TJ Watt is a product of his environment, and I think the Browns' defensive environment in success is owed to one guy. I don't say one guy because Denzel's a really good player, but you know what I mean. Like, Myles is the environment. TJ's a product of his environment. I don't think one game, whether it's old stats, new stats, yet to be determined stats, I don't think that changes it for me. But it does certainly feel like Browns fans went, well, I guess we don't even have the best defensive player in the division anymore.
It's just an overreaction to one game is all that is.
But that's the game you overreact to.
Well,
I really
they
do
wind
understand
up next to each other.
It.
Now, listen, I don't agree with you on the idea that he's a product of his environment. I think TJ Watt could be good on an island. He'd still have to wind up over the right tackle because he just wants to pick his spot. I think he's a very good player. He's just not Myles Garrett.
Well, I think he'd be a very good player. Do I think he would have?
He'd probably be what closer to what Max Crosby is than to what he is right now. Like he'd probably fall into that Max Crosby territory, which again, or the Hendrickson territory, which is still you're a very good player at that point.
But when we talked about Myles through the entire process of his holdout, the end of the holdout, this offseason, the weird dinosaur cupcake party. It was all weird. There was a lot of weird there. There was a lot of...
The dinosaur part in particular.
Well, and I'll just say, it was a lot of unrelatable. And this is a town where, because we're not accustomed to winning in football, relatability is such a big thing, right? Why was Baker so popular from the jump, before he even played good football? It's because he identified with us and we with him. There's a little schism with Myles that I think was exposed... That is still there for, I don't want to say everyone, Because I think some people are just Miles, and that's who they are, and that's fine. I'm mostly over the offseason shenanigans as well. But man, do I feel like this week was the reminder of there's still people who it's like, well, you're great, but you're not Joe. You're not Nick Chubb. You're not this. You're not that. I think that's what the PFF thing broke open in Cleveland is too. And I'll be honest with you, didn't have it on my bingo card a week ago that this would be part of the conversation.
Well, they also rated three other Steelers players on the defensive side higher than Myles Garrett. They rated Harbig, TJ Watt, James Pierre, all higher than Highsmith, too. They rated three guys on that line higher than what Myles Garrett ended up rating out. That's the weirdest part of all this. Now, I do want to ask you really quickly, though. Like if you look at their overall grades, because and I know I think I'm more into PFF than you are. I think that's been established. Their PFF grades on our D line does make it seem like when you do the Sunday night, if we played a Sunday night game, you would watch this pop up the way that they were talking about. Mm-hmm. JJ was talking about how Collinsworth does, and it is interesting because they rate them relative to their position. Myles Garrett is third out of 110 edge defenders.
Okay,
that makes sense to the both of us. I
yes.
think right. Mason Graham is 75th out of 122 defensive interior players.
I think that makes sense.
Malik Collins is second.
Yeah,
I love this for Malik Collins.
He gets pressure.
I love this for Malik Collins.
I think that's so much of what defensive linemen get credit for in the PFF model. I think Malik, I don't know, second, but yeah, I mean, I would.
Second.
I'd imagine he was top 10, top 15.
Alex Wright is 13th out of 110. We go back to the edge defender side of things. So you have three guys on this line that are top 13 of their respective position, and then obviously two in the top three in their respective position. And Mason Graham, your fifth overall pick, is the only holdout in that.
I think that's probably more in line with how people feel in general, the eye test, as it were, than maybe we realize. 216-474-0092, how do we evaluate Myles Garrett at this point? And we got a potential war of words brewing in the NFL. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angels, Angels,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, so this is not what we're going to start with, but we were made aware of this as Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports appeared on 102.5 The Game in Nashville, Tennessee. They're very hot on the Kevin Stefanski train there. They'd like Kevin to be their new head coach, which is interesting because he's still the Browns head coach to this point. And so Charles was asked point blank, could Kevin Stefanski leave Cleveland and maybe head on yonder to Tennessee?
Like, if you ask me out of that group who could end up in Tennessee, I mean, maybe Stefanski could. But I also think Stefanski knows if I get another shot after Cleveland, it's better be a good one because I can't suffer this twice. I can't go into two bad organizations twice with in terms of, like, the ownership and, like, what the sum of the parts end up being. So I'm sure he would be pretty reticent.
I mean, there just aren't enough jobs, Nick, but he should be very peculiar about where he goes, or particular about where he goes, because the Titans are a bad organization.
Yeah, they're actually worse than the Browns.
Like, that
are.
Ownership doesn't know. I mean, she just goes ahead and just fires anybody at any given reason, and then it makes no sense, and they keep alternating every year about who they fire.
What is it? Nine head coach, interim head coach, interim GMs, GMs, and football presidents since December of 2022?
And they also fired Mike Vrabel, which should tell you anything you need to know about this situation. Yeah. Like, when Mike Vrabel can't succeed there, it's going to be the deck is stacked against a lot of people.
Let's say, I don't think it's going to happen, but let's say at the end of the season, you're on the fence about bringing Kevin Stefanski back and the Titans call you. Is there a price that maybe that pushes you in the way of a Kevin Stefanski to Tennessee trade? I'm getting very greedy here, by the way. I understand
what
I'm doing.
Yeah, it's not going to work that way because they're just going to... A fifth-round pick, do you think he gets rid of him for Andrew Berry? Does Andrew? You're firing him anyway. If at the end of the season you're firing him with certainty...
I said he was on the fence.
No, if you're talking about trading him for anything, you're firing him. And so you want to just recoup basically anything? Is that the idea?
I'll take a second-round pick.
Yeah, you're not getting a second round. All right, at least you know you're being greedy about it.
I'm totally being greedy.
at least you know.
I would be shocked if Kevin went from Cleveland to Nashville.
You just can't. Like, go be an offensive coordinator. The Titans aren't it. The Titans aren't it. Cam Ward doesn't appear to be it. They're set up horribly with their ownership. Like, you're going to fail. If you go to the Titans, I can all but promise you you're going to fail.
Wouldn't hate that, though, because then we wouldn't have to worry about Kevin being good somewhere else.
Omaha!
I'm really not concerned about that. I know some fans are. I'm just...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
It's not.
By the way, that happens sometimes in sports. What's more important is that you get your head coach right, not that suddenly Kevin Stefanski goes somewhere else and looks like Pat Shermer did after he got another head coaching
job. If he ends up being Belichick or something like that, I will be very, very surprised if that ends up being the case, but it wasn't going to happen here then.
So if he ends up lucking into the greatest quarterback of all time?
I just said, you gave him 6 years to try to figure it out. He wasn't even close here so far. All right, Joe Paterno talked about the field at Acrisure Stadium. We had Ben Roethlisberger talking about it yesterday. All sorts of Steelers players complaining about this field that they had to play on Sunday. Here was Joe Paterno.
That was the worst field I've played on, like, and it wasn't even bad weather or anything, which is the other part. Like, you get some games, even in Cleveland, where it's been bad weather, bad rain, it was bad. I mean, anytime you step, like, so much turf was coming. It was pretty much, like, dirt, but, like, piled up. Like, I mean, kind of embarrassing that we, you know, the National Football League, the best in the world, is playing on that.
I think it's incredibly embarrassing. I have no idea why owners are, I understand why owners do certain things, and some owners are just really cheap. What this has turned to in with the Steelers, though, is it is. It's embarrassing for the NFL. It's embarrassing for the league that you can have a field look like that, and it's all done under the guise of, we don't want to spend enough money to make it look immaculate every week. That's embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing.
I mean, and this will never stick to the Roonies. That's actually the funny part about this, is they're Teflon, and they should be because of everything they've achieved. It's an awful look for the Roonies. It's an awful look for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But there's, by the way, there's no real other side to it. That's what makes this conversation so, like, frustrating, is there's no way to be like, well, but Pittsburgh, dot, dot, dot. No, it's stupid. Fix it.
Well, I don't know why this isn't something the NFLPA hasn't tried to collectively bargain. And they've done this, certain stadium and certain places have done this with FIFA, for instance, where it's like there's a mandatory requirement of what the field has to look like. And I just don't know why the NFLPA hasn't lobbied for that, because you're going to have guys get injured, or even a guy like Boswell, who clearly missed that kick at the end of the game because of the field conditions. I'd be so mad if I were him. That wasn't his fault that he missed that kick.
Deshaun saying on the YouTube chat, Kevin is a moron, and it's funny as hell you hillbillies think it's a market for certified morons.
I'm not the hillbilly.
I'm the hillbilly. And I prefer redneck, all right? Appalachian American.
What Appalachian American? What would you like to? I've never called you a hillbilly, and I've never called you a redneck, because I never knew which one was.
I mean, Hungarian hillbilly is really, you're kind of the sweet spot there.
I think if I called you Hungarian hillbilly, somebody, like, people listening would be like, whoa. But you're cool with it.
Yes, because I am in fact a Hungarian hillbilly.
So what about redneck? What makes redneck not great?
I have no idea. All right, I can be a redneck, I can be a hillbilly. There are differences between this, and I've learned this a lot because there are people in my family who care about it. I do not.
Okay.
I think the idea, I'm probably closer to a hillbilly than a redneck. I'm not upset by the vernacular you use to which you might insult me.
And I grew up the furthest thing from a hillbilly or a redneck you could possibly have in America.
What can we call you?
You can't even call me like a city kid or anything. I don't even know what, city boy, you city slicker, you. I don't even know what you would say, but furthest thing from redneck or hillbilly imaginable.
Omaha!
Although I did do a lot of chew in high school playing baseball, so maybe we're closer than we think.
We've got a potential war of words brewing in the NFL. Bears QB Caleb Williams linked up was supposed to link up with Troy Aikman ahead of the Bears Commanders Monday Night Football matchup. It did not happen. ESPN and Aikman are said to be irked by the alleged no-show. Here is Williams yesterday with his side of the story.
I didn't get to meet with him. Tried to meet with him. Reached out and tried to meet, and you know that didn't happen. And so moved on from it. Went and played the game and came out 3-2. I was here late and timings didn't meet up, lifting or whatever the case may have been. And then tried to call him after the game, and or not after the game, after the day that you know I was supposed to meet with him, and didn't get through.
All right. Is it a bad look for Caleb Williams?
The bad look is him going on social media and then taking the shot towards Troy Aikman. That's the bad look. And signing a TA and everything. That's where Caleb Williams has to be better in these moments.
Now, in fairness, wasn't he taking a shot because of Troy Aikman saying it was luck-based, the success the Bears are having?
But you're the quarterback. You have to be better in this instance. Here's what he should have done. If I was his PR advisor, this is what I would have done. I would have sat up there and I would have said...
You would have resigned immediately because you're Caleb Williams' PR advisor.
No, but like this is the easy one. It's just you sit up there and you say, Troy Aikman has won more Super Bowls than I could ever dream of. He is one of the most talented quarterbacks the league has ever seen. Any criticism he had of me in the game on Sunday, and by the way, he had a bunch of criticism, and it did feel very personal from Troy Aikman's side. It really did. By the way, any criticism he had, I'm open to it. I haven't earned anything in this league, and I have to take that and move forward. End scene, done, you're over. That's it. Like, it's so easy. You don't then go on social media and lob shots at Troy Aikman after the fact. You're not going to win that battle. Troy's got everyone's attention. Monday Night Football, every time you play for 3 hours, every single time you're in Monday Night Football for the rest of your career.
All right, but if we
frame it, he's not going anywhere.
But if we frame it that Troy was taking shots at Caleb because he felt like Caleb no-showed on purpose or not, whatever he thought. Like, if Troy's taking shots at Caleb because he no-showed to a meeting or that's his perception, that's wildly unprofessional. Like, I agree with Caleb Williams.
Got to be better in that
moment.
No,
he doesn't. I don't think he does. Troy has to be better.
The social media post afterwards doesn't have to happen.
Troy's practically a grandpa now.
Okay, but you're the quarterback of the Bears. You don't have to make a social media post going after Troy Aikman after the fact.
It wasn't going after. It was
at least
playful.
Even acknowledging it.
It was a playful troll.
I thought Ben Johnson had the right sentiment on this. Ben Johnson's sentiment was...
Did he stare him down, or does he only do that with shorter diminutive
he said if you want respect in this league, you have to earn it, and at this point we haven't earned it, and I agree with that. At this point, Caleb, sorry, you haven't earned the respect that you think you are deserved or given, and it could have been so much easier and just swept under the rug and taken care of, and instead you blew it up in a way you didn't have to.
And yeah, Troy lit the fuse. I can't blame the kid for doing what a 23-year-old kid is going to do. And when I say kid, a 23-year-old young man is going to do, I don't like it. I hate the phony baloney crap that we make quarterbacks do. This fake nice guy crap that is absolutely so far from the truth more often than not. I think Caleb's a bit of a goof. I do. I don't think there's any protecting that anymore. In this case, Troy wants to make Monday Night Football about the alleged luck of the Bears and having what seemed to be very personal analysis. And Caleb, it read to me on social media like Caleb was joking. Like he was having fun with it. That's a lot better and a lot more professional than what Troy Aikman did on Monday Night Football. I hate to say it because I think Troy's the absolute best.
I just don't think you win doing memes and such on the internet in this moment. Like, it just doesn't, to me, that's just not something that, I just don't think he should have done it. I don't think a meme on the internet accomplishes anything to him there.
The meme on the internet?
The meme that he posted.
Which one of us? I think it was more when you said a meme on the internet. There was something about that that definitely sounded like you were the 40-year-old on the show and not me.
We're within 3 years of each other.
You're on the YouTube.
I put the
TikTok and the chat and whatnot.
Yeah, I put the in front of a lot of different things, though. It's funnier to me that way.
Is it just internet-based things?
I think it's a lot of things. Like, I'll do a lot of different things. I'll put the in front of it. Like, I'll be like, going down to the Walmart. Just because I think it sounds funnier. To me, it does. It just is what it is. Yeah. But the memes. Caleb, stop them.
The kids with the memes.
Stop them.
And the whatnot. And the sixes and the sevens and whatnot.
Hey, you bring the six sevens in the conversation. Six, I still don't know anything about that. I don't even know
Come
anything
on
about
now.
That life.
Come on, you know we're talking about kids. Yeah, right there. 216-474-0092.
And the audience goes mild. It only works for YouTube.
You got me, you bastard.
It only works for YouTube.
You should definitely look at us on 92.3 The Fan's YouTube, by the way. However, Charles Robinson had more to say on Kevin Stefanski's future in Cleveland. We're getting to that in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.